Springfield's News Talk FM 104.1 KSGF. Oh, did everyone watch every single minute of impeachment yesterday? Answer, no. I should say the impeachment trial. I did learn something very interesting, and I don't know if you knew this. This is a new bit of information that Adam Schiff delivered, that that the reason that we have any sort of dealings over in Ukraine is to prevent Russia from invading the United States. Did you know that? Yeah, I had no idea that that was what's going on. That's why we're over there in any capacity at all. Not over there militarily, but otherwise, Russia would invade the United States. Oh, we've got some audio of that. And you know, what seems to be grabbing the attention of many people are the interesting tidbits of how the Senate runs and the very strict rules that people are like, what? Like, they can't have anything to drink other than just a few very specific things, like, well, water. And then some are drinking milk. And like, why milk? Well, evidently milk is not allowed, because at one point, before there were medications for ulcers and stomach problems way back when, milk is what you drank. So when these rules were designed at one point, milk was considered something that could be consumed for medicinal purposes. There are all sorts of these rules. And if you've ever gone to Jeff City, even, the Senate in Jeff City, they have all sorts of really these rules as well that I don't want to say crazy, but you would say to yourself, what? This doesn't even make sense. Like, why? And I recall asking, I was having a conversation in the Senate there once. They weren't not in session, because you're not allowed to. It's not like the assembly, the state reps, where you can just kind of go in and observe.
Yes.
You're not allowed to do that. There's a waiting room. You can't even go into the waiting room, like, unless you are in the company, I think, of a senator or some. There are all these rules, like who can stand where and what you can say. And you can, like, the way where you're seated, you can't cross the path, I think, of senior senators. There's all these odd rules, and I ask, so why are these rules? Why? And I was told, well, that's just how it's always been. But your mind would be blown. It's very ceremonial, and there are just all these crazy rules that you think, who and why did anyone develop these? But if you ever want a real interesting little lesson, talk to your state senator and see if you can, as best as possible, learn about that stuff. Go up to Jeff City and observe it as best as you can.
So no Mountain Dew, no Diet Coke.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could never. If I had any aspirations at all, you just ruin them as far as me getting into politics.
Well, and they're all having digital withdrawal because they have to sit there quietly.
Yeah.
During this thing, they cannot have any sort of digital link to the outside world. They have to just be there sitting. And
wow.
And at one point it was observed, a lot of them had smartwatches, and so I guess they had to get rid of those. But you know, when people were talking about how this could be detrimental to some of the Democrats who are running for president, this is why. I think there's this, well, why? They don't, you know, they could still go. No, they have to be there. They have to be sitting there quietly. They're not allowed to have conversations. They're not allowed to do all of these things. And even if they leave, it's noteworthy. I saw some news outlet was tweeting that Bernie Sanders left at this time, returned 1 minute later.
Oh, wow.
Ted Cruz left at this time, returned 5 minutes later. And, you know, just it's very structured, if you will.
Gotcha. Wow. Well, we have a lot of schools in the Ozarks that are closed today.
Really?
We've had a few come in here in just the last half hour, and these are, you can pretty much draw a line east of Highway 65, and these schools are all along or east of 65. For example, Ava's closed, Chadwick, Gainesville, Hartville, up around Conway, they're closed there. Logan Rogersville is closed. Marshfield is closed today. Seymour, Sparta, Stratford, just down the road, is closed. So a lot of schools. school districts are closed. You can get that complete school closing list at KSGF.com. And you may have noticed on that forecast that we have not one but two winter weather advisories in effect. One of them will end at noon today for Springfield area south and east. And then another winter weather advisory will kick in later tonight for pretty much everyone. Light to moderate snow is possible tonight into tomorrow morning near and north of Highway 60. 1 to 3 inches is possible. Looks like Springfield's going to be on the lower end of that total. But then as you head north of Springfield, 2 to 3 inches up around Osceola, could have 4 to 6 inches up around the Osage Beach area. And some isolated amounts upwards of 4+ inches in central Missouri. So the highest totals are going to be in central Missouri, and that will affect your morning commute tomorrow. So that's going to be a big mess in the morning. A 16-year-old has been charged with shooting and wounding another teen over the weekend in Battlefield. That suspect is charged as a juvenile. Greene County authorities say the victim was airlifted to an out-of-town hospital in critical condition. And a suspect arrested after pointing a gun at 5 students on the parking lot of Nixa Score Alternative High School. He was quickly taken into custody by Greene County Sheriff's deputies. He is not a student at Nixa. That is latest news.
KTTS First Alert Forecast. We'll kind of do a day-by-day here, a look at it, sponsored by Anchor Tactical Supply. That winter weather advisory until noon for Springfield and areas south and east. Then another winter weather advisory for most of the listening area. And that'll kick in at 9 tonight and go through Friday because of everything Don just mentioned. Rain, snow early today, then drizzle in the afternoon. Foggy later as well. A high today of 38. Snow mixed with rain tonight, then all snow. Eventually it'll turn to all snow with a low of 31. And Friday, snow likely before 3 p.m., then rain with a high of 33. Sun and clouds, no precipitation expected through the weekend. Saturday, partly sunny, 42, and Sunday, mostly cloudy, 46. It's 33 with area rain here at the KSGF Studios, the Talk and Text line. Queen City Motors Talk and Text line, 447-KSGF. If you want to call in, text in. Now, Joe Biden, as you know, he is been brought up numerous occasions, he and Hunter both, regarding potential witnesses in the Senate trial. And Democrats have said, well, I mean, you can't call. I love how they just, everything is so unfair. Everything is so unfair. It would be unfair to call Joe Biden. It'd be unfair to call Hunter Biden. This would be wrong. It would be unfair, 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 unfair. It would be unfair for the defense to even have a defense. We're supposed to have a prosecutorial system in this country, you know, like North Korea, for example, former Soviet Union, where fairness is all on the side of the prosecutor. You're not guaranteed as an accused individual a fair trial. No, 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 no. It's all the prosecutorial perspective that calls the shots. They get to decide everything. That is the frightening perspective that Democrats have right now in this country. And that's what they're operating under. I mean, can you imagine some of these people as prosecutors? When the defense, yeah, talks about, well, we need this. No, 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 we don't, no, no. Can't have that witness. We get to decide. Sorry, sorry. We'll go ahead and choose your witnesses for you. Again, that's the North Korea-style way of things. Republicans have, and some of this stuff, I believe, is just for public consumption, and some of it is true potential paths to take in dealing with this trial, and that is witnesses. And, all right, you want John Bolton? Well, we want maybe Joe Biden, maybe Hunter Biden. Well, Joe Biden, he's like, I'm not going to be part of any of that. And he's expressed before he won't comply if he is called as a witness. Now, I'm sorry. Is that not obstruction of Congress? Is that not one of the articles of impeachment against Trump? That certain witnesses, Bolton being one of them, when they said, well, we want him to come testify, and Trump was like, I don't think that that's something, we've got executive privilege, and we'll go to the courts, and they can make the final decision on this if you want. And Adam Schiff said, no, we won't go to the courts. You're not doing what we want. You're not providing a witness we want, so that is an impeachable offense. Now, you got Joe Biden running around there going, well, I'm not going to comply. So you have right now the Democratic front runner, not by a lot, but by pretty much every account. He edges everybody out in the polls. Who is out there fully acknowledging that he will do exactly what it is that the current president of the United States is being impeached for. And that is not complying with a request for testimony, or he says he won't, if called to do so. But I suppose it's in line. I mean, every bit of this has been Joe Biden doing something and then President Trump being accused of doing what Joe Biden's actually doing, and then they go after him for it and accuse him of all sorts of horrible things, of course, beginning with the withholding of funds from Ukraine. I mean, how perfect is all of this when you look at it? You imagine being from another planet, and you come and you see all this playing out. Like, all right, here's a guy who openly bragged about, and we all know the story here, withholding funds unless Ukraine fired the top prosecutor that was looking after his son. Or looking into his son, rather, and the son's company. Then you got another guy who comes along, and it's like, well, we have this deal, legislation that was passed and signed by a previous administration, a deal with the Ukrainians regarding rooting out corruption, and so we're going to hold you accountable for that. And we've got corruption here, 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 allegations of corruption here, here. One of them has to be, you know, the vice president threatening to withhold aid in exchange for laying off his son. We need to look into that. But that's the guy that you go after? And ironically, for withholding aid, which is what the previous guy bragged about doing, and now one of the articles of impeachment, obstruction of Congress, is all built around the fact that the President of the United States argued executive privilege allowed him to not have some of those folks, Bolton and others, come testify before Congress. And we'll let the courts decide. And they said, no, that's an impeachable offense, trying to use the courts for that. And Joe Biden, meanwhile, he's like, well, I'm not going to comply. Well, that's perfectly fine, see. And trying to get him to do so would be that, you know, that's an abuse of power. That's Article 2. See how screwy all of this is? Most thinking people who put politics completely aside and just can objectively look at it, recognize that this is all absolute BS, and this is absolutely nothing but an attempt to override elections. Now, if you think that that is overstating it, I'm going to play some audio from Adam Schiff, who has fully acknowledged yesterday during his arguments that the next election cannot happen, that this needs to happen, that the 2020 election, he has declared it, so we cannot believe it, we can't trust it, and that's why we have to get rid of Trump now. So Democrats, or at least Adam Schiff, is declaring what many have feared for a very long time, and that is the attempt by Democrats to just eliminate elections, and the next presidential one, it's essentially what he's doing. I'll have that audio next. Queen City Motors Talk and Text Line, 447-KSGF. Here's traffic. I'm Nick Reed. We are on Facebook Live this morning, 1041 Nick Reed. That's the place you find us, over there on the old Facebook-a-rooney. Here's part of what Adam Schiff said yesterday, as the Democrats used up one of their days to argue for the undoing of the last election and the removal of the President of the United States from office.
The House did not take this extraordinary step lightly. As we will discuss, impeachment exists for cases in which the conduct of the President rises beyond mere policy disputes to be decided otherwise and without urgency at the ballot box. Instead, we are here today to consider a much more grave matter. And that is an attempt to use the powers of the presidency to cheat in an election. For precisely this reason, the president's misconduct cannot be decided at the ballot box. For we cannot be assured that the vote will be fairly won.
Now, almost what is more important than his assertion that the election cannot be decided at the ballot box is the reason why. And let me explain that. You could make an argument that intelligent people could debate that the decision as to whether or not Donald Trump, in the context of the alleged wrongdoing, should be removed from office, that should not itself wait for the ballot box, but we should decide that in this body. And then, once that decision is made, if he is acquitted, people can decide, or even if he's removed from office and he wants to run again, then the ballot box, the people can go and make that decision. So in other words, one should not replace the other. You could make the argument that simply because there is an election coming up, that doesn't mean that we should not go through with this. So when it comes to the issue of should President Donald Trump be removed from office because of high crimes or misdemeanors, as alleged here, that is not a decision that should be made at the ballot box, but we should be making that decision. And then when it comes to the ballot box, if he remains in office or even if he doesn't, then people can, you know, they use that function to decide whether or not they want him to remain president or to get reelected, okay? But that's not what he's saying here. He's saying that the reason this cannot be decided at the ballot box is because we cannot trust the 2020 election to be accurate. So he is, in fact, saying that their decision should replace what happens in 2020 at the ballot box because that can't be trusted. So it's null and void. It's not a matter of we're dealing with two different situations here, a situation that requires impeachment, and then the election will go on as usual. He is saying that we should not have, or at least we can have it, but that's not what should decide the next president of the United States. That should be Adam Schiff and the Democrats, because 2020 is irrelevant. That election can't trust it. Now, I have this ability to see into the future and not, you know, in any sort of paranormal way. But I know people. I know what drives people. And I have the ability to, think, okay, here's where this is their mindset, this is their eventual goal, and then from that, do a pretty good job of predicting what they'll do next. And some time ago, I recognized that in one capacity or another, Democrats were going to eventually push for elections to become essentially irrelevant. Maybe they would have them, but they would be mere suggestions, you could have an election as long as it turned out the way that they wanted it to, but if not, then we would remedy that. And of course, that idea sounds crazy, right? That's where we are today. That is exactly where we are today. And we began to see it in 2000. The election where George Bush beat Al Gore. And so they kept counting and recounting and recounting and recounting every time, coming up short and saying, well, we'll just do it again, until the Supreme Court eventually said, you cannot keep recounting until you get the number you want. You cannot do that. I believe Miami-Dade, Broward County, 4 or 5 different times they recounted. Every time they'd, well, we got to do it again. A lot of people don't understand that. They think, well, there was some questions about ballots, and the Supreme Court said, no, you can't recount them. That's not what happened. The Democrats that ran those counties, they just said, well, we're going to do it again. And you had the Republicans, they're saying, no, you can't do that. And they're like, yeah, we can. And if you try to stop us, we'll say that you're trying to stop people's votes from being counted. And they would count, and Bush would still be up. They'd find a few more. They always found a few more for Al Gore. And when that count didn't work, they said, well, we're going to do it again. Numerous times until the Supreme Court stepped in, he said, you cannot just continue to recount over and over and over again. And they eventually made him stop, and that's when it was officially understood, officially accepted, that the American people and that the states chose George Bush to be president of the United States. But it didn't stop them from trying to undo that. While it wasn't as pronounced, there were a number of Democrats after the 2004 election that signed a letter to the United Nations asking them to step into the election because Ohio and I think they claimed some other state was actually supposed to go to John Kerry and it didn't. And so they were pitching a fit about that one didn't count. And of course, Trump, I mean, you know, so what has happened is they've gone from just declaring the elections don't count, they're invalid, to trying to absolutely undo them. So in other words, as Americans, we are allowed to vote unless we do it wrong in the minds of the Democrats. And if you don't think about that, if you don't analyze that, if you don't look at their behavior, it is easy to instinctually say, well, that's just silly, that's rhetoric. But look at their actions. Has there been a presidential election since the last, you know, the first George Bush that they haven't claimed was stolen in some capacity on a presidential level? Is there any close race? You know, I think of the Al Franken race where up in Minnesota when he first ran and he lost. But then, oh, look at this. We found a trunk box is filled with ballots. And look at that. It's just enough to put Al Franken over. I mean, they do it every time. And now they're going so far as to yesterday, Adam Schiff arguing that the 2020 election, that should not choose the next president of the United States because we can't trust that election. So that's why we need to go ahead because, you know, in what he's arguing here is that Trump is going to be on the, you know, going to be the choice there. And since we can't trust the election, then we need to go ahead and get Trump out of there now. We as Democrats. Now, this is where it is now. Think about the next election and the next election and the next election. And I hate to say this, but the truth of the matter is Democrat voters, average Democrat citizens are the ones that can put a stop to this. They're the only ones, really. I mean, because they don't care about Republicans. But if Democrats continue to support this sort of behavior, they're going to continue to do it. Got to get a quick break. Also, an update on the traffic. Don Luzader will update us on news. More, I'm Nick Reed. And Mr. Don Luzader.
Well, good morning. The roads are awfully slick this morning off to the east of Springfield especially, and now this whole system is really starting to track east of Highway 65. So if you're headed through Marshfield, Marshfield with a lot of snow on the ground this morning, up toward Conway, Lebanon, the streets are going to be in pretty bad shape up there. In fact, Marshfield schools calling off class today. Logan Rogersville has canceled, Hartville, Mountain Grove, a lot of those school districts, Seymour along Highway 60 have called off class. But even in Christian County, Sparta and Chadwick have called off class today. You can get that complete school closing list at ksgf.com. Now, more snow is expected tonight into tomorrow. That's going to be light to moderate, and that will affect the Friday morning commute. Right now, forecasters are thinking maybe an inch, 2 inch max in Springfield. Higher amounts as you start heading north of Springfield up toward Osceola, 2 to 3 inches, and then up around the Lake of the Ozarks. Some of those folks could get 4 to 6 inches of snow. Missouri lawmakers are trying to adopt stricter photo identification requirements for voting just days after the state Supreme Court struck down key portions of another voter ID law as unconstitutional. The latest one is Republican lawmakers want to give voters two options, show a photo ID to vote or cast a provisional ballot. Provisional ballots will be counted if voters return to their polling place the same day with a valid photo ID or if voters' signatures match the ones on file with election authorities. And that is the latest news.
The KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements. Discounts for veterans, firefighters, police officers, EMTs. You be careful with those $8 headphones over there. Just throwing those around willy-nilly. I think the packaging that the headphones come in is worth as much as the headphones. And so, I mean, that being said, they tend to take a beating and last a while. Winter weather advisory until noon for Springfield and area south and east, then another winter weather advisory for most of the listening area. That'll start at 9 tonight and go through Friday. So we have these continued cycles. Don, of course, covering this in the news. And so got the rain and the snow all mixed in, some drizzle continuing after 1. There may be fog that sets in also later today, a high of 38. Snow mixed with rain tonight, eventually turning to all snow with a low of 31. Snow likely before 3 p.m. on Friday, then rain, a high 33, and partly sunny Saturday. 42 for the high. It's 33 and cloudy now at the KSGF studios. Okay, I want to hold that. So I'm just going to play one other bit from Adam Schiff yesterday, and we played in the last hour. His declaration that the voters should not be allowed to determine the president because the 2020 election cannot be trusted. Can't trust it. That's what he said. And so that's why they need to decide who is going to be the next president, not the American voter. Now, this is a declaration, of course, if Donald Trump made it, we would hear the word dictator thrown around quite a bit. But sadly, the media is not free in the traditional sense of being free from their own, or in the non-traditional sense, from their own obsession and bias. And so they are all in on this. Eliminate the election if necessary. Just do whatever has to happen. Get him out of there. We hate the guy. And so they don't see it as dictatorial. This is the party, understand, that goes on and on and on anytime you talk about photo ID in order to prove who you are to vote, about the sanctity of the vote and how Republicans want to disenfranchise people. Yet here is the party saying we can't leave it up to voters to decide the next president of the United States. He also added this little tidbit about Russia and an invasion into the United States.
Moreover, as one witness put it during our impeachment inquiry, the United States aids Ukraine and her people so that we can fight Russia over there and we don't have to fight Russia here.
So part of the reason that we aid Ukraine is, as he just mentioned, I mean, these are his words, so that Russia doesn't invade the United States. Now, what he's saying here is that essentially Donald Trump threatening to withhold aid was opening the door for Russian invasion. That this is not inconsequential. That we could have been invaded by Russia if Trump had followed through with what Joe Biden threatened to do. Now, see, these are the sorts of questions that, if there was any integrity in journalism, that would be asked of Adam Schiff or other Democrats. I'm sure he can't have these discussions, or he probably shouldn't be with the media until all this is said and done. But other Democrats, you know, Adam Schiff says that holding up this aid, I mean, it could, you know, lead to Russian invading the United States. Why would that not apply when Joe Biden threatened to hold up aid? Well, it's conspiracy, and that's not what this is about. Would, of course, be the answer. Meanwhile, some Republicans are drinking milk on the Senate floor following strict impeachment rules, one of the more interesting aspects of this. Several Republican senators watching the ongoing impeachment trial of Trump over the past 2 days have apparently been taking their mother's advice to drink their milk. Don't you love clever journalism? GOP Senators Ted Cruz of Texas, Richard Burr of North Carolina, and Tom Cotton of Arkansas have all been spotted downing a glass of the dairy product while on the Senate floor. And, of course, this is tweet-worthy from a number of individuals. It isn't because the lawmakers are looking to get their daily share of calcium and vitamin D, but because they haven't been given many beverage choices for the trial. During an impeachment trial, senators are forced to abide by a seemingly draconian set of rules that, among other things, require them to remain silent and seated the entire time. Sit there. Keep your mouth shut the entire time. Imagine how difficult this must be for some politicians. It forbids them from using any electronics, and it permits them to sip on either water or milk, nothing else. The Washington Post reporting that there isn't a rule that permits them to drink milk, but then there also isn't a rule that forbids them from doing it. So why milk and nothing else? Well, there are a couple of citations here, but the conventional wisdom is, at one point, milk was used in the medicinal capacity of helping with ulcers and stomach problems before, you know, you could pop some sort of over-the-counter drug in order to, help with those stomach ails. And so it was considered a necessity for medical purposes at one point in time. And so that's why milk is allowed. So there are serious articles out there about the digital withdrawal these individuals are having. And I believe it. You know, we laugh about it. But a lot of these folks, like a lot of people, I mean, they are constantly on their electronic devices, phones primarily. If not tweeting or checking social media, but just receiving text messages. And it does, it becomes a habit. And I know the word addiction gets used, and there's debate over whether it is actually a truly addiction in the traditional sense, or if it is, you know, just a very difficult habit to break, that constantly checking it and that need to see what's going on. But whatever it is, I think that it's clear, anyone who's constantly on their electronic device, it is a difficult thing to just stop doing, and they're being forced to do it. I honest to goodness, I was having this thought the other day, just about people in general. I would like to think that one day it will be fashionable to never be seen pulling out your phone and checking it. And there'll be like a name for it, like the detached or whatever. I don't even know what it is. But that will be the thing. Because, you know, we go through these phases and, the cool thing is to grow your beard really long, or the cool thing is to wear this sort of clothing, or the cool thing is to do this. That at some point, the trend is going to start where people that are totally, not that they don't have one a device, but that never being seen with it, never having it out, that you're totally detached from it, that becomes the thing to do. I would love to see that happen. I think it would be fantastic. But there was an article that referenced that what they call secondhand screen time may have as much of a devastating impact as secondhand smoke for children. And, you know, you see it a lot of times now, so much the kids and, you know, not just them on their devices, but here they're talking to their parents and their parents don't even look up. They're just looking at their phone instead. And that emotional disconnect that creates, I think part of the reason that we dismiss it is because so many of us have a very difficult time turning away from our devices. All right, I know I kind of veered off there a little bit. The Queen City Motors Talk and Text Line, 447-KSGF. I'm Nick Reed. All right, a final bit of information about the impeachment hearings yesterday. The paranoid delusions of the left that see Russia behind everything, even within one of their own members of Congress, that being Tulsi Gabbard, who filed a $50 million lawsuit against Hillary Clinton for falsely accusing her of being a Russian asset, are sounding the alarm that the Trump team involved in this trial is sending the coded number 33. Did you know this? Oh, yes. There's much a stir among left-wing individuals and activists in the Democrat Party that they keep hearing the word 33, the number 33 used. referencing that Trump's attorneys, they said 33 days, nine times yesterday. They're talking about the amount of time that Nancy Pelosi took to eventually send over the articles of impeachment. And they, why do they keep mentioning 33, 33? Why do they keep mentioning this? Now, a normal person goes, well, they're making the point that, you know, this was delayed, that there's a lot of politics at play, but that's not what the left sees. According to David Lazarus of the LA Times, 33 is a code signal to Christians because Jesus was said to have been 33 when he was crucified. And so to Christians, the number 33 is very important, and we like see it in everything. Now, I didn't know this, and I'm a Christian. I didn't know. I don't hear 33 and think, oh, somebody's sending me a signal. Somebody's sending me a signal. Did you hear that, number 33? Okay, I'd better pay attention. I'd better go down to my basement and activate the evangelical Christian switch and let everybody else know that the number 33 was being used to signal us. David Lazarus tweeting out, 33 is an important number to evangelicals. Jesus is said to have been 33 when he was crucified. This in response to a David Dale tweet saying, yes, Trump lawyer said 33 days nine times yesterday. It was a talking point, not a brief slip, but instead a talking point. So now not only do Democrats see evil Russia behind everything, but like the one person that they probably think is even worse than Russia, Jesus, is behind all of this too, or at least he's got some sort of play in it. Here's traffic. I'm Nick Reed. On the Queen City Motors talk and text line, or is Nancy Pelosi sending a secret signal to Christians by waiting 33 days to transmit the articles of impeachment? Of course, she can't openly communicate with Christians because the Democrat Party won't allow her to, so maybe she does it in secret. She's the one who initiated the 33-day thing. This is in tongue-in-cheek reference to David Lazarus of the LA Times tweeting out that this 33 is the number of left-wing people have noted. They keep mentioning 33. What is that about? And he's like, well, you know, Jesus was said to be 33 when he died. So this, it's code. It's like when we talk about secret cells in the United States and there being some sort of trigger code. Evidently, that's what some people on the left think that is. I don't know what Christians are supposed to be doing. I'm not sure what this signal. Maybe it's just like, hey, we got you. I don't know. I'm not sure. They didn't get that far into it. President Trump has this knack of doing unconventional things, things that no previous presidents have ever done. And he is doing it once again with the announcement that he will address in person the March for Life on Friday. He will be there to make live remarks to hundreds of thousands of pro-life people attending the event from across the country. He will be the first president ever to attend the March for Life in person, having addressed the march via video previously, while President Ronald Reagan, George Bush, and George W. Bush all address the March for Life as well with pro-life remarks. Their remarks were either pre-taped or aired via live phone calls. So President Trump will be there live on Friday in person, the first president ever to do so. Christy Fulnecki in the next hour. News next. I'm Nick Reed.